wisdom is an ability that God gives us, practical solution to a problem that's usually hard to solve. A lot of people experiencing a problem, and nobody knows what to do and how to solve it, especially when a problem comes when you don't expect it. God gives us word of wisdom. Word of wisdom usually works with the word of knowledge. Now, there's a difference between word of wisdom and spirit of wisdom or gift of wisdom. Okay? What is the gift of wisdom? Solomon says, God, I pray that you give me gift of wisdom and knowledge. Now, it's different than the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Okay? Gift of wisdom, when a person has supernatural ability to be wise. Have you ever seen these people? They're just always wise. Always, I mean, they never act stupid. There's other people who get word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is a temporary, it's a one-time thing. Let's say you have a problem, you don't know how to solve it, and God says, this is how you do it. Like I said, last week we used to do family counseling, and we didn't know how to help 20 years older than us couples, and sometimes 40 years older couples, and they would come and ask us to help them in their marriage. And we would be like, God, we don't know what to do. As we would listen to their problem, Holy Spirit would tell us quickly, word of wisdom, something we didn't know. I was foolish enough, let me tell you the truth, I was foolish enough when I would receive the word of wisdom, I felt so wise. And then I would leave, and I tried to recreate it again. And I sounded more stupid, more foolish than ever. And I'd be like, Lord, what is the problem? Why do I, in certain moments, when I do counseling or give people a solution or advice, I act so wise. But when it comes to me, for my life, it's not working. And God says, because it's the word of wisdom. It's not a gift of wisdom. It's word of wisdom. And in the body of Christ, listen, this is the coolest thing. How many of you know that we have wise people as Christians? And when we have people who are simple. I'm not going to say fools. It's simple. The Bible says, don't call your brother a fool. That's bad. So Jesus actually said this. But how many of you know we got all kinds in the body of Christ? Just like in a family, we got all kinds. Smart, not so smart, simple, wise. We got all kinds. Like in the family, so is in the body of Christ. And God loves the simple as much as He loves the wise. It's just everybody has a different gift. And Solomon, the interesting thing about Solomon, when he became a king, he asked for two things. He said, God, give me your wisdom and knowledge so I can judge your people and be able to rule this multitude that's called Israel. Okay? So Solomon had wisdom all the time, pretty much. Still made a lot of mistakes. But when two prostitutes came to him to judge about a baby, remember that? If he didn't get a word of wisdom and word of knowledge, Solomon would have been wise and tried to do it his own way. What would be an example of doing it his own way? He'd listen to both sides, and based on his experience, he would want to tell, okay, I think it's your baby and not your baby. He could have done a wise thing, but still be wrong. So even to the person who has a gift of wisdom and gift of knowledge, God says, I want to give you a word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge is for those situations that you don't plan for. You never studied for it. You never practiced for it. You have no experience. You have no way of knowing. And God just gives you a drop, a little raindrop just in your brain. And just, oh, and you start out, and you're like, I know the solution. This is what we do. Now, what is the gift of wisdom and gift of knowledge? Let me talk today about gift of knowledge. There's people who have a gift of knowledge. And they are not necessarily, it's not necessarily comes from the Spirit of God. Although all good gifts comes from the Father above. Like let's say this, a person who sings. They can have a gift of singing without being a Christian. But guess what? That gift comes from God. So can a person be knowledgeable without God? Yeah. They could have knowledge as a gift. Now, those are usually the kind of nerds people, okay? They're a little nerdy, okay? Have you ever seen a person that just loves reading big books, 600 pages? Like, for somebody to read a book by a dead guy, I'd be like, "Hi, I got a book about a dead guy, yeah!" To somebody, you know, I want to get more knowledge. Yes, this book talks about, let's say, gifts of the Spirit this way, but there's 10 more books that talk about it the other way. I want to know all of it. These are the people that love statistics, yes! These are the people who like to read footnotes. How many of you know what footnotes are? The notes in the back of the, or in the bottom of the book when you read, there is a footnote. Different explanations. Or some of you who have this gift just love to read, love to study, you love knowledge. Okay? You love to go in the back of the book into appendix and read what other books do they recommend. So some of you who don't have this gift, let's say, you're like this. You're like, "Wow, this is a big book. How thick is this? And no pictures?" I'd rather have a gift of hospitality and eat. I like to eat and talk. So some people don't have, let's say, the gift of knowledge, but we're not talking about word of knowledge. Not everybody here, right, loves to read big books. So there's a difference between a gift of knowledge and a word of knowledge. The coolest thing is this, Christians, listen to me. The coolest thing is this, that even if you don't have the gift of knowledge, you don't really like books, you like to conversate with people, personal, you know, or some of you just don't like books, you like visual. Hey, God says, by my Spirit, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you word of wisdom. In Corinthians, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom by the same Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? Let me give you a definition, working definition. It's immediate realization or understanding. Something that you could not know. Now, some of you ask, why do we even need this? Isn't this all for the church? Yeah, it's for the church. But you need word of knowledge for your work. Do you know that God will give you word of knowledge if you're doing something wrong? To keep you pure? To protect you from the pit? From a prison cell? If you are a Christian and you are obedient, and if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you people you should be hanging out with, and people you shouldn't be hanging out with. For some reason, I know this is not the right person for me. I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm not going to do business with this person. They're bad news. I've been to estimates, and Holy Spirit said, don't work with that woman. And if I disobeyed, it's not like Holy Spirit came to me and said, don't work with this woman, okay? No, it wasn't like that. It was knowledge. I felt, no, don't work. Don't work at this house. Leave this job alone. And if I didn't, I would pay dearly. No, seriously. One time I was working and a lady had a, you know, nice driveway. And she had cracks in her driveway. We were working, you know, do regular job. We don't crack driveways, not unless we drop a tree on it. But if you just, you know, regular use, you cannot hurt no driveway. And when I came to her for an estimate, I looked at her driveway, and God says, inside I thought, she's going to get me with the driveway. I really, like, knowledge came to me. But see, knowledge didn't work with the word of wisdom. See, when you have a word of knowledge, you have to ask God for wisdom. What do I do, God? And usually the word of wisdom would say, probably, either sign a contract, take pictures. Actually, guys, hold on.
Something inside me told me, take pictures. Oh, come on, I trust people. It's Sioux Falls. People are pretty nice, you know? Oh, and I had to pay dearly. Because I disobeyed, I had to go through just a few months of hassle. No, I didn't replace the driveway. They had to get an expert to see if we really did that. And the cracks were about half an inch cracks already. And when you make a crack at first, it's small. It's like a hair link. But then over the years, it gets bigger, spreads. And they're like, no, this has been here for years. But what if we listen to the Holy Spirit in everything? It says, don't date this person. Word of knowledge. You just got that knowledge inside. You don't know how you got it. You don't know why it's there. It's like almost like you want to say, some things he'll tell you won't like, and you want to say, shut up to yourself. Just shut up in here. But if you listen, Bible says, and obey, you will eat the fruits of the land. And if you don't listen, you won't. You got to listen to this still voice that's inside of you. Listen, you don't have to have a great wisdom and great knowledge. Holy Spirit gives it as a gift. That's why it's called a gift of a word of knowledge. It's that. Now, why doesn't God give us the whole knowledge, the whole wisdom? Well, it's like you going to the doctor and saying, doctor, I have this problem. And he's telling you everything he learned in medical school. Your head would be like, oh. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what'd you say? So that's why God gives us to everybody. He loves us. And he's like, I know you maybe are not inclined to the wisdom, but I still love you, son. You know, some of our kids, we love him. That's who we are for God. He loves us. So that's why he gives us these words of knowledge. If you get a word of knowledge, ask God for a word of wisdom. God, what do I do with this knowledge now? What do I do with this knowledge? One of the guys came over to me, and I wanted to be a part of ministry here and be part of a spiritual team here. And we were sitting at lunch, and we're talking, and suddenly, Holy Spirit, you know, if you want to become a leader in the church, there's different levels, right? There's entry levels. Like if you're ushers and greeters at the door, there's limited qualifications. You know, you really just need to show up and smile, okay? And just show your teeth or something. I don't know. And don't smell. And that's it. That's all the qualification. Okay? But if you want to be a minister, you know, there's more qualifications, right? Even Bible says in Timothy, there are certain qualifications of a deacon, of an elder. You know, there's qualifications that you need. And so this person knew all of that and still wanted to be a leader. And here I'm sitting with him in a restaurant and talking, and God starts telling me the kind of life he lives outside of the church. And I said, from nowhere, I start telling him, you hanged out with this and this person this week. You abused this kind of a substance this week. And I started saying everything about in their life. It was scary. I was like, where is this coming from? And God says, no, this person over here is not ready to be in leadership position. Now, why is it important that a person is qualified for leadership position in the body of Christ? Because you then become an example. Let's say we had a worship leader who hanged out and lived a wicked life, and he was worshiping on the stage. Probably some of you would know about it. Guess what happens to the body of Christ when they see those kind of things in a, not that the ministers are perfect, guys, but there are certain qualifications. If you're a minister, there's qualifications. If you're a teacher, can't sleep with your student. Right? Help me out here. If you do, you'll go to jail. There are some choirs that choir director slept with every woman on the choir team. That's bad, right? Why? Because that person was not qualified. And what happens is that spirit, that sin spreads. That's why we don't really, that's not a lot of people are going to get into the pastor's elders team. You're going to be tested, qualified. We're going to watch you live. Now, we love you no matter who you are. Right? We love everybody. But there's qualifications. It's like a letter of success. You know, you start here,
beginning, then you grow. Amen to that? And so I was talking with him, and I didn't know what to do with that wisdom, knowledge that God gave me. And I just told him, now, I don't do that anymore without asking God for wisdom. And what happened was this person started avoiding me, stopped looking into my eyes because he thought that I could read his mind or something through his eyes. We walk in like this, and eventually just slowly disappeared. And I love that person. He can come to the church. He can worship. He can do everything. You know, just know there's qualifications for leadership, eldership in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got to be careful. We got to be careful that our church is not, from this stage, showing something. And Holy Spirit will show you. Now, how does that apply to your life? There's friends that are no good. And you got to be careful. And God will give you that knowledge. And if you reject that knowledge, God says, I will reject you. Actually, I have a scripture here. Let me read it to you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this is what he says. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Don't reject that. God could be speaking about something you're doing. He says, stop doing that. Stop doing it. You got the knowledge. And then God says, if you don't stop, you're going to reap the consequences. And see, God loves us so much, he doesn't want you to reap consequences. There's a scripture that says, why should you die before your time? Why? Why should you be beaten and have wounds for no reason? Why? I come to give you life to the fullest. Just follow my commandments. Just follow me. Well, it's all about the heart, Pastor. It's not about the religion and it's not about the practices. It's all about the heart. I agree. There's a difference between obedience of the heart and just... See, let me explain this. There's two ways you can get to the truth. One way is through obedience of the Word of God or your teachers and your people who God has placed over you. Or schooled of hard knocks. Okay? Now, there's a right way and the wrong way. Now, when I tell my son, don't cross the road without looking two ways, he could say, Dad, stop controlling me. If he was more mature Christian. He's a kid yet. Right? Now, he could do it either way. He could, now his heart doesn't, he doesn't feel it yet. His heart doesn't understand. Why should I do that? Why should I look both ways? Why shouldn't I just cross the road? Or another way, so he can do it the hard way, or he can do it the way that his father tells him. So this is what you do, his father says. And if he does it, he might feel controlled a little bit. But guess what? Eventually, let's say I told him, don't go stealing. And his buddies go steal. They get in trouble. And he listened. Guess what? He's going to look at his friends and go like, huh, my dad was smart. His heart is going to be changed anyway. Except while these people go stealing or doing substance abuse, guess what happened? They'll get to the same knowledge. I shouldn't do this. Oh, this is bad for me. See, if you obey, you get the same knowledge, except you get to look at other people and learn it from. But if you disobey, you'll get the same knowledge, except you might be addicted to drugs by that time. And you can't quit anymore. You might be addicted to alcohol, and you can't quit anymore. Bible calls him a red dragon. Yeah. See, so everybody here will get to the knowledge of truth. How are you going to get there? And Bible says, if you only listen and obey. In a lot of the church today, listen to me, a lot of our church today is, yeah, you preach over there, I don't care, but I'm going to do it my way. You know, it's all about the heart. If I Feel like committing fornication? I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. And then when I feel bad about it, I won't do it. Okay, you might be too far, too deep by the time you get there. And so that's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So if you come here and give your tithe, Bible says that's not as good as if you come here and you listen and you go and you obey that. Because you're not obeying the pastor. You're obeying God's word. And if you obey that, you won't have to get there the hard way. Now, your heart doesn't understand it. Why shouldn't I do this? It feels so good. I want to do this. Why shouldn't I? Eventually, you'll know. Your heart will get there. Just wait a little bit. Except you won't have all the problems if you did it the other way. If you learned it on your own mistakes. People and devil steals time from people. He destroys. He eats at their soul. He destroys people with jealousy, with anger, with all kinds of stuff. And God says, if only you obeyed, you would eat the fruit of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Open to Kings, 2 Kings 6. I want to show you from the Bible the word of knowledge so you know more about the word of knowledge. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. This is a story about Elisha and the word of knowledge. Ready? Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be such and such in such and such place." And the men of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Be aware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." So here's Elijah, has no idea what king of Syria is saying in his secret place. And yet, he knows exactly what king of Syria is saying. So he's not hearing him. He doesn't have a walkie-talkie. He doesn't have an implanted telephone conversations. There was no such thing. Amen? He is just receiving knowledge. And he, notice what he does. He doesn't sit on it. He goes and tells the king of Israel, which is his nation, he says, "Don't go that way. That's where King Assyria has set a trap for you." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the men of God had told him. Thus he was warned, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Assyria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who is the traitor here? Who's the spy among us?" King of Assyria was getting frustrated. The reason he doesn't want us to use our spiritual gifts, because he knows what kind of power you will have. He doesn't want you to know his stuff. See, do you think God knows when the devil is planning something for you? Yeah. God knows that. And guess what? God wants to reveal a little bit of that knowledge to you. So before your enemy attacks you, you know it. You're like, "I'm not going to lose my joy. I know this." And there is a reason why, if God allows it to happen, there's a reason why, and I'm going to know what to do. So this king was troubled. "Will you not show us who is here a spy? Who is for king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." How would you like that? Everything you say in your bedroom, your enemy knows. How would you like to know what your enemy say about you in their bedrooms? How would you want to know what devil is planning for you? There's no such a thing as a wrong place at the wrong time. No, if you are led by the Spirit, there is no place, wrong place and wrong time. And if there is some trap set for you, God says, "I want to reveal it to you." See, in the Old Testament, only few were filled with the Spirit and were able to do these great things. In the New Testament, God says to each one, has been given. It's not for the church only, people. Every day you encounter different situations. And you can deal with them with your knowledge and your wisdom, or you can ask God, I need your wisdom and your knowledge. I need your word of wisdom and your word of knowledge. What is my enemy planning? What is he planning? Now, the next question, how do I deal with it? What do I do with it? And look at this. And so he said, go and see where Elisha is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dathan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elijah, alas, my master, what shall we do? That's usually how we, when we face with a problem, when enemy surrounds us. I've been there, oh my goodness, as a pastor. There is moments when enemy surrounds you. Sickness maybe. Maybe a torment of the soul. Maybe depression or oppression. Maybe you look happy on the outside, but on the inside you feel miserable and you want to die. You see what I'm saying? We deal with a lot of stuff in this life. But it's a temporary. Bible says these temporary moments of trial are nothing to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Do you know that this life is like a second in a day? How fast is a second? That's it. This life is short, but heaven is forever. It's eternity. Do you have a revelation of heaven? That's the knowledge that God wants to give you. Apostle Paul says, to me it has been revealed. To me it has been given knowledge of the mysteries of God that's been hidden since before the foundation of the world. And he said, to us it's been revealed. Heaven is beautiful. See, a lot of you, especially in America, we Americans, we are so bad about heaven. We like to be entertained. We live in a country that has the most entertainment in the world. If you go to some village in a third world country, they don't even have the lights. They can't play an MP3 player for too long. They don't have TV to entertain them. So their life is kind of boring. So they're like, yeah, heaven would be amazing. But guess what? We are Americans. Oh, heaven is boring. I don't want to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. I don't even like harp. What do you love here on earth? You love football? If you love football, God didn't create a big guys to just waste the strength and height and muscle. Do you know that there's football in heaven? We didn't come up with football. You think you're so smart that God looked and said, hey, how did they come up with this? I got to stop them. No. See, God says that in heaven we're going to be glorifying God. We're going to live in for His glory forever and ever. Now, there's true worship and there's false worship. Let me explain. When you look at let's say something new, God reveals something new to you. You go like, wow. And you say, glory to God. Or, when something is old and you have to praise God, how do you do it? Same old thing. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You're not really excited. What kind of worship does God want? That is true worship. So, heaven cannot be boring. Let me explain why. Because in order for you to worship God for real, every day, every second of your life, He has to show you something that you have not known. Have you bought a new car before? And you go and you're like, wow. When you buy your first new car, you're like, man, this is the top. They can't come up with anything new. And then they come up with something new and you're like, and then after a while you realize that it'll never stop. We'll have more new and new things. Have you ever had an old phone that weighed like a brick? Hello? You know, and it was heavy. It's like you can't talk too long. Not because it's just expensive, because it's like you're holding a brick to your ear, you know? But now they're coming up with the new things, new applications, iPhone and things like that, and really you have the whole world in your hand. See, we want to be like God. He has the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole, and then you got, I got the whole world in my iPhone. Amen. Heaven is going to be amazing. What do you love to do? You love skating? I bet you he'll make you a skateboard so fast that you can surf the galaxies. And every time you see the marvelous beauty of God, you'll be like, glory to God. And now you're standing there. You can't even lift your hand because you're locked. Unlock yourself, please. God is going to show you for eternity. Didn't even come to the mind of man. Listen, if God gives us life, technology is going to get more, better and better. I mean, in a good way. Technology is going to get, you know, what we see today, our kids, in 30, 40 years, it's going to be amazing what they will come up with if God gives us this time. But even that won't surprise God. They'll be like, man, they're just tapping into my, you know, beginning stages. They're just tapping in into my, God says, everything you can do here, everything you can create here, I already can. Better, 100 times, million times. And his Bible says his mind is unsearchable. So if human beings put all the wisdom together, it's going to be like a drop in the ocean, of water in the ocean. Guys, you can go and talk to Apostle Peter and just listen to him. You can meet David and watch the video of his life. Wouldn't that be amazing? Then heaven is going to be amazing. But listen, a lot of you didn't think this because you didn't allow the knowledge of God to penetrate you. Now, this stuff that I'm talking about is not in the Bible, and it's not going to be in the Bible. But I know why I long for heaven. Why I say that these trials on this earth, these problems that we deal with, and some of you have it good yet. And it's great. I'm happy for you. But life is not always like that. What are you going to do when trials come? Longing for heaven. You have a purpose in this life. It's not just to be comfortable. Because when you get to heaven, let's say, and then your grandkids get there and great-great kids get there, and they'll say, well, what'd you do on earth? I was comfortable. I watched TV. And they would say, well, comfortable here is nothing because everybody here is comfortable. That's not a big deal. That's comfort is, what did you slay a Goliath? Did you fight a lion and a bear? Tell us, Grandpa. Andre. Tell me, Grandpa, what did you do in this life? And I didn't do anything. I worked and I ate and I drank and I was trying to be happy. And they're like, boring. That's boring. I don't want to hear about that. Let me go talk to Abraham or David or I don't know, Alexander the Great. Heaven is not a place you thought it would be. It's everything you can think of times billion. For some reason God wanted me to tell you that so you wouldn't think it's boring. You have friends who don't backstab you. You can sing in a choir, billion people, and hear the roar of heaven just shaking. And you know how you have a big choir singing, it just gives you goosebumps. Imagine a billion people singing. Imagine if you're a musician playing in an orchestra or a band that's of a million people, and it's just everywhere, the sounds and the trees are alive and flowers and birds and horses and all this stuff. Bible says, listen to me, things on earth are only a shadow of things to come. You need to live your life
We need to live our life. Me too. I always have to be reminded that I have to live my life as I'm a traveler here. This is the time to fulfill my purpose. God doesn't really care if you're comfortable or not. Because this life is a temporary, so temporary compared to million years, billion years, forever and ever. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. God wants to fill us with His knowledge. I'm 31 and life seems like it just went by so fast. Tanya, I'm going to hand this microphone to you. Talk to us a little bit about word of knowledge.
I just want to say that it's awesome that gifts of God are not given to you according to your own accomplishments. Or if you're naturally wise, then you're going to be getting, you know, words of wisdom. If you're naturally like knowledge and you read, and then you're going to be getting words of knowledge. It's not like that. I'm not stupid, but I like, you know, books of interest. You know, I'll read books about kids, about marriage, about, you know, certain issues. But I'm not into, like, what he described, Pastor described, you know, books and books and books and everywhere, and reading and knowledge and statistics and boring stuff. But I get word of knowledge. I get this crazy knowledge that, like, there's no way I would know. And interesting thing is that a lot, like, somebody came to this church and they never seen word of knowledge at work before. And so they, we have a lot of people who move in gifts and of spirit. And they came and they were like, I can't look anybody in the eye. She knows everything about me. They know everything about me. They know everything. And it's not everything. It's just God shows you the crazy things that, you know, like, you would never know it. But it's not everything. It's not like you look at the person. That's how people describe, that's how they felt. Like, you look at me and you just see everything I did yesterday, everything I'm thinking right now, and it's not like that. So I just don't want nobody to be scared, you know, because Pastor moves in that, myself and other people in this church, leaders move in that. It's not like that. It's never going to be used to crush you or to put you down, or, you know, just to get embarrassing facts about you. And, you know, that's not the point. The point is that that's what I learned, that whenever I have a word of knowledge, I come up to a person, and it's not just for people, it's for me too, but I would come up to a person and I'll give just that little piece of knowledge that I have that they know that I probably, like, there's no way I would know that. And that gives them an open ear right away. Like, how does she know that? You know, like, it's just a little, it could be a little picture. I come up and I'm like, you know, I saw this and this, and they're like, okay, and then you get an open ear, and then you minister, and that's when word of wisdom comes out, and prophesying, and you bless them, and you pray for them. But so it's not the whole knowledge. It's not, you know, we can't see everything. You know, we can't know everything. It's just bits and pieces. Yeah, and it's not, there's no, like, you don't have to be a certain person who, perceptive, yeah. Like, it just, she kind of perceives things, like, she knows things, right? She just knows things. Like, you know, she'll drag things out of you, like, word by word. You're like, how did I end up telling you everything, you know? But you don't have to be like that to get the word of knowledge. For example, myself, I am, especially, you know, when I was younger, I'm a very simple person. You can lie to me, like, not even funny, and I believe you. Like, the simplest, the silliest things. And I'll be like, really? No? I am like that. But God chooses to give me word of knowledge sometimes, and it's not that I'm so smart that I see people are lying to me. It's just something in the inside tells me that that's not the truth, you know, or be careful, don't fall for that. It's not that I know everything right there and not like, it's just, again, I'm just so glad that, you know, God doesn't look, I don't have to deserve the gift. He just gives it to me, and I don't have to have special abilities for it. So that, and I can't be proud. I can't boast in that, because just like me, you can receive the gift. Anybody can move in that gift. So, I mean, what else? That gift can be used in for church, just like I already explained. I use that a lot when I come up to people and I just give a word of knowledge and then, you know, minister to them from that. But so much in my own life, with my kids, with the simplest things. You're doing something and then you're like, I'll come into my, you know, daughter's room at night to keep, you know, kiss her goodnight. We will pray, normal prayer. And then I have this feeling that something is wrong. You know, like I should do more. And I'm like, ah, okay, you know, we prayed already and I'll leave. And that night she'll wake up and she'll come and she'll be crying, Mom, you know, I'm scared or whatever. And I'm like, why couldn't they just listen to the, you know, the knowledge that I got and pray with her right there? And whatever was not right in the room, just cast it out. And it's the simplest, little, smallest things. It's not just for church, for ministry. You use it if you're listening. That's very, very important, the word of knowledge. With every gift, you have to be listening. You have to open your ear because God is always speaking. He always says something. But a lot of times we just don't want to hear it. We're not sensitive to it. But if you sit there, you're talking to somebody or, you know, you have a situation and you just like, God, what is it? What is it? What is it? You will hear him. You will just know. You won't hear him. I'm sorry. You'll just know certain things. You'll just out of nowhere be like, okay, you know, yes or no, or you'll just know things. So be very, very sensitive and want it, you guys. It's so good. It's amazing to get a word from prophet when you come up and they pray for you and they tell you da 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 da, like the whole like amazing things. But it's so much more amazing when you yourself get a knowledge, get this, I don't even know, realization of something, and you're like just a little me. God is using, he's talking to me, not through a person, but just to me. And then people tell you, yeah, that's exactly, you know, you were right. That's exactly what's happening. Or they tell you that's not right, that's not true. And then a couple of weeks later, they'll be like, yeah, you are right. So and it's just so amazing. Your relationship with God grows and it's just so much deeper and so much better than through somebody else using gift on you. So want it, crave it.
These gifts are available for you. If you want them, God will give them to you. Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. God told him, you're going to pick a new king there. So Samuel doesn't hear the name of the king. Who is he? God says, you'll know. You'll know which one he is. So Jesse brings his 7 sons. And the first one is good looking, tall, strong. And Samuel's like, yeah, probably this one. Notice, that's his knowledge. That's his knowledge. Oh, yeah, wow. How many of you, sometimes it's like your knowledge, like you made a decision and then, no, that's a bad one. So Samuel says the same thing. Yeah, this must be the one. And God says, no, I rejected him. No, he's not the one. No, it's not like God said it into his ears. No, he's not the one. Don't pick him. No, it's just the knowledge. No, something's not right here. He says, bring me a second one. Third, fourth, 7. Nobody. Samuel was probably thinking, did I choose the right house? I missed it. God, what is wrong? She's like, could there be another son? Yeah, but we don't talk about him. He's a one out of the... could be one out of the wedlock or something. We don't really talk about him. Samuel's like, yes, bring him. Samuel is getting worried. Here comes 7 sons, nobody. And then comes the 8th one, David. And God, not says it. Samuel recognized that's it. This is the one. And so Samuel begins to prophesy in his life. Anoints him with oil. That's how it works. In the Old Testament, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, those were only few who God used. In the New Testament, he wants your life to be filled with victories, with stories that can help the next generation, that can help your children. You know, it's good to pass wisdom as an inheritance. That's what the Bible says. What are you going to pass to your children? What are you going to pass on to them? You pass them wisdom and knowledge, or folly and stupidity. And a lot of parents pass stupidity to their children. Bad habits, wrong lifestyles, bad examples. We need this word of knowledge.